Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
To many, Jesus is the humble carpenter of Nazareth, or perhaps the healer of Galilee. But our understanding as Bible-believing Christians begins long, long before the manger in Bethlehem. It begins in the infinite reaches of the eternity past. How do we wrap our minds, finite human minds, around a being who is called a son, but has no beginning? How does he stand as an equal member of the Godhead while being the very architect of the world, and yet also can be held in a mother's arms as a baby? Today, we are peeling back the veil of time to explore the pre-existent Word, the self-existent eternal Creator who held the stars in place before He ever held a human hand. Join us in discussion, and Pastor Metepila joins us as well as he will be taking us through this conversation. God the Son is where we are conversing this morning. For this Genesis, good morning to you and welcome.
Morning, Brother Derek. How are you?
Not doing all right, Pastor, and yourself?
I know, okay, bro.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, by the way, for joining us and accepting to discuss with us and lead us out in this study right here.
Welcome, bro.
Thank you. Furisi, we are talking about God the Son. How does the Bible define this being? And why is this understanding of this belief, of this principle, foundational to a believer's faith?
Okay, thank you so much, Brother Dave. Maybe to start with here, let me make a disclaimer first.
Okay.
So that all be on the same note. The phrase God the Son is not a single sentence that you find in the Bible.
Okay, okay.
Yes, yeah. It's not a phrase that you find written in a single sentence in the Bible, but it is the concept, and that concept is clearly taught throughout the scripture. The concept of God the Son,
mm-hmm.
It's clear in the scripture. You can't, so when we talk of the Bible defining God the Son, we have to go through the Bible and be able to find it out. And then the second thing, before I delve deeper into it, I want us to understand that this issue of God the Son is actually where the root, it's not where the root, it is the root of believing to all Christians. In other words, it informs our belief as Christians. Otherwise, without it, we have no Christianity. Mm. So let me just explain how to get to the definition that might be, maybe the one that I've been asked it for.
Okay, thank you for this.
Yeah. Okay, Brother Derek. Actually, it's like we have several texts that can lead us to understand on how we can perceive God the Son as a part of the Godhead, or maybe another term that is usually used and commonly used, Trinity.
Okay, yeah.
Which is also not in the Bible, but actually a concept that the Bible explains.
Mm.
So when you look at John is the most and everlasting text that can take us to understand, rather, or to where we can be able to understand who God the Son is,
mm-hmm.
and how that fit into the Godhead. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God,
mm-hmm.
and the Word was God."
Mm.
So it's like you are saying, if you kind of substitute by elimination, you are saying, in the beginning was God, and God was with God. That's what you are saying.
Yeah. And now, God was God.
Yeah. God, in the beginning was God, and God was God,
hey.
And God was with God.
Yeah.
So if we understand, if that becomes the domain of our understanding, then how to understand why the Bible, or why John is coming into, one thing that I want you to understand, Brother Derek, with John, the Gospel of John that I've just sung.
Yeah.
It does not give us the theology, but he alludes to the two other writers in the Gospels that this genealogy is very genuine and okay. it does not give us, but it takes us back to it, even mm-hmm. beyond actually beyond it, so that we may understand. He actually brings it back even before Adam, whilst Matthew is bringing us Jesus as the son of David. And Luke also brings us and links him to Adam. But John now brings it out that in as much as we may be able to give the genealogy of our Savior, he is beyond genealogy. Mm. That's why he say in the beginning
that's was where God. Christ is found.
Yes, and in fact, you read in John chapter 20, verse 28, Thomas actually calls Jesus my Lord and my God. Yeah, you know, that's how he's saluting Jesus,
yeah.
My Lord and my God. So this is exactly what makes us Christians. You know, we are going to go deeper, but with this alone, anyone who is genuinely seeking understanding will be able to understand Jesus is God.
And maybe let's underscore that. Why is that so crucial, Mfundiswami, to realize that Christ is fully divine and not just a high-ranking angel, right? As some, when they hear about the archangel and how he is the firstborn and so forth, they think, oh, Jesus is just a created angel. Or some would then say, no, he was a prophet, a good man who lived long ago, and he was a good man of God, and they don't want to really acclaim that divinity to him. Some even in their scriptural writings, they've got a Bible which they've said, no, we'll then paraphrase ourselves and put a small g in that God scenario you were sharing with us earlier on from John chapter 1. Why is it crucial to not relegate him to such minimal, minuscule approaches, but to really say, no, he is fully divine?
Thank you. One thing that I want us to understand also as we begin this discussion is that sin is against the divinity. Sin is not against anything.
Okay.
It's just like divinity. So the solution is in divinity. In other words, if we are saying Jesus is not divine, then we have no salvation in Jesus Christ. Because sin will continue boasting that I can only be eliminated by righteousness or by divinity. And if Christ is not divine, then why do we talk of salvation? So the reason we believe that Jesus is divine, It actually informs us of our salvation.
Okay.
He is the sacrifice. He is, one thing that I want us to understand, if we take it that way, we are saying God did not send, he did not send an angel. Maybe let me put it that way. We'll say God did not send an angel or someone else to save us. He came himself.
Yeah.
That's what we are talking about, Jesus.
Yeah.
Came himself in the person of the Son. That's what it means. So one thing that I want us to understand, especially in this, you can put the small j, you can try to remove divinity, but that will not change Jesus. He was. It's everything.
Yeah. I like that. You can do what you want, but it won't change who he is. He will remain. He will remain.
One thing that changes is me.
Yeah.
If I actually, it's me who change. By belittling Jesus, Jesus does not change. He remains Jesus. He remains the Savior and he remains God. But me, now it's me who change by doing. So I want us to understand this, that once we acknowledge Jesus' divinity, then our Christianity has value. Our Christianity's value. This was the argument which, let me just take you out a little bit. This was the argument which Paul had earlier on, when he was talking about the resurrection, he's actually referring to Jesus and saying, if you're saying Jesus did not resurrect, then us who believe in Jesus, why are we kind of just wasting our time?
So he
is actually kind of attributing divinity to Jesus and saying the reason why we believe in him is that he is divine and he conquered death. He is divine. He is God. So he will also resurrect. If he was able to resurrect himself, he will resurrect us. So he is God.
He is God indeed, indeed. How does the idea of understanding John 3:16, one of our listeners, our presenters in another segment, was calling him the monogenes? You know, the Bible was saying John 3:16, he's the only begotten son, and yet we say he existed forever. The one thing we know about a son is you've got a parent, and if you can't be the same age as your father, that just does not work biologically. So maybe help us understand this, Muruti, as we close off.
Okay, thank you so much. I loved it. I actually, you know, I enjoy it when you said the other presenter actually was saying the begotten. Begotten is the word actually that says monogenes. It's the root word is monogenes.
Okay.
Monogenes, whatever, how you put it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to send one of a kind. And by saying begotten, it's not actually alluding, or maybe it's not contributing to the fact that he was born, or he was fathered to become.
Mm-hmm.
This is one thing that I want us to understand. Okay. Actually, okay. It has a deeper theological meaning when you take it from the Old Testament. At one moment of time, God is saying to Israel, you are my firstborn son.
Mm-hmm.
I begot you when I took you out of the bondage of Egypt.
Mm.
So at one moment of time, when you look at it in that context, you will understand that it was God's purpose that Israel proclaims the goodness of God so that people may be turned to God and be saved. So it was a matter of salvation that was supposed to come through Israel. But Israel failed the assignment. And then there comes the only begotten to finish what Israel failed to do. And it is in that context that we need to understand the begotten. Not that God actually gave birth to God. Then he by so if you are to believe that, Brother Derek,
I'm
saying God changes. When in actual fact the Bible says that God does not change. So he changed from God to become a father of a God. In other words, in simple terms, begotten does not mean that God gave birth to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
but it is in the context of the assignment that Christ came to do.
And I think
not.
Okay. No. I just wanted to say, you know, this is profound, because it then makes us understand that, you know, God understood us, but in such a manner that He was willing to reshape Himself for our benefit. Not that He changes, but he's wanting to say, you know what, this is how I am in eternity. But for the sake of your salvation, I'm willing to undertake a new role for you and for your benefit. I think that's profound. That's profound.
Exactly.
No,
thank you so much. But it's really important that people should not mistake an incarnate and divinity. They should not mistake. They should not mix up those two things. Because the word incarnate itself will tell you that it is not what he is, but decided to take up this shape. Like you said, he shaped himself into another form for our sake. He took another form for our sake. So that he take us from the level that we are to the level that he wants us to be. So that we can also be children of God. So he incarnated to our level to bring us to the level where we can be called children of God. That's my understanding, bro.
Thank you so much for that, Mfundisi. Appreciating you and your guidance this morning. May God bless you until we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Brother Derek. God bless you too.
Bless you. That's our pastor, Pastor Genesis, who is taking us through this conversation this week, understanding, helping us understand who God the Son is. I'm hoping that it's becoming clearer as we converse together this week. In case it's not, why don't you talk to us, share your thoughts, your comments. We want to hear from you.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.